What are the rules with North Korea now sending a delegation to the Winter Olympics in South Korea in about a month? I'm David Brancaccio in New York. After the first formal talks between North and South Korea in just over 2 years, the forthcoming Winter Olympic Games have become the catalyst for some easing of tensions. Let's go to Seoul to check in with the BBC's Hyung Kim. Good evening to you.
Good evening. Glad to be here.
Give us a sense of which sanctions would have to be modified or lifted temporarily to allow this Olympic interaction to occur.
If they come by flight, that means they might use Korea Air. And Korea Air is on sanctions list. However, if they come by bus or by land, which seems very likely at this point, that may not be the issue. And also, if the delegation includes some of the figures that are on sanctions list, that sanction may have to be relieved as well.
And the North Koreans want to send some athletes and I think what, some cheerleaders, I see.
That was expected, and Taekwondo demonstration team somewhat expected. However, what was not expected is what they call spectator group or audience group. Unification Vice Minister in Seoul actually told reporters that they are not 100% sure what the North means by spectator group, since they have not sent this kind of group before, but it could consist of high-ranking officials in the North.
Probably the most important question is this a prelude to further talks and some kind of easing of tensions?
Well, that's exactly what the South wants. One indication is that many people are paying attention whether or not Seoul officials would be able to bring up the issue of nuclear or even mention the word nuclear. But apparently they did. According to the unification minister who led the delegation, said that there has to be peace, or there has to be an end to the tension on the Korean Peninsula. And the North responded by listening carefully without immediate response. So it's uncertain. North Korea has always been unpredictable in many ways. So we'll have to see.
Hyung Kim is with our partner broadcaster, the BBC in Seoul. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Let me check the markets here. The 100 share index in London is up 0.4%. The S&P future here is little change. The Dow future up about 0.1%. You know what's up is the benchmark for interest rates in America. The 10-year Treasury yield is at 2.49%. An English major once told me with airy authority that there are no new plots in literature, just variations on established themes. That sounded like undergraduate bunk then, as it does now. But is it possible we've reached the point that there are no new electronic gadgets, only variations on established themes? I bring this up because the huge technology convention CES opens in Las Vegas today. It's called by those letters now, no longer the Consumer Electronics Show. Joining me is Molly Wood, host of our program Marketplace Tech. Hi there.
Hi, David.
All right. So what do we got this time around? What gizmo or gadget?
There will, as there always is, be a huge passel of gadgets of all shapes and sizes. There will be drones and robots and virtual reality rigs and phones and televisions. But it is starting to, I think CES is starting to beg the question of whether there is any new device under the sun. And so the trend in the past few years has been to connect all those devices. And, you know, this year, I think you'll increasingly see attempts to layer artificial intelligence on top of those connections and then also let you talk to basically everything, control everything with your voice.
Well, like Siri or Amazon's Alexa you're talking about.
Yes. In fact, there is a little bit of a race on among the companies that make voice assistants to see kind of who can get their voice assistant embedded in the most devices. Alexa really had a big year last year. Alexa is in everything. It's in televisions. There's even a company called Moen that's building Alexa and Siri into a smart shower so that you can control your shower with your voice. But this year, I think there's actually going to be a big competition between Amazon and Google. Google is making a big push to get its Google Assistant in a lot of devices. So companies are vying behind the scenes to control the way that you actually interact with devices that they don't even make.
Right, so the voice-actuated shower. Siri, yeah. Make it colder. Siri, I said make... Yeah, okay, I get it.
It's too hot. It's too hot, Siri.
But in this quiet, frozen January for many of us in North America, often CES was a great way to get out to Vegas for some warmth and was seen as the center of the universe in a January. Is it still here in 2018?
You know, CES remains one of, if not the largest technology trade shows on Earth. But what I think is interesting about CES this year is that there has been, toward the end of 2017, there was a significant change in attitudes, in feelings about the tech industry. And so where CES has traditionally been an unabashed celebration, there's a little bit more cognitive dissonance this year. You've got these companies standing up saying, we want to put artificial intelligence in every device so that they all talk to each other and they all gather information about you. And, you know, a lot of consumers are thinking, hey, maybe that's not such a good idea after all. And so there may be a little more skepticism than usual coming out of CES.
The host of Marketplace Tech, Molly Wood, my colleague. Thank you.
My pleasure, David.
We've also been reporting over the last 5 days on the rush to fix just about every Intel computer brain, which researchers discovered are vulnerable to hackers. Speaking at that CES convention, Intel CEO Brian Krzanich said there will be a patch for this problem, quote, within a week. The promised patch will apparently cover 90% of all Intel chips from the past 5 years. Some experts worry a patch could significantly slow these computers down. Now, this is separate from a separate hardware vulnerability that affects most computers, not just Intel's. It's a problem with the core architecture of computers, which is an even tougher problem to solve. Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Daniel Shin. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.